You're listening to Dundalk FM 100.
Hey Joe, it's competition time with Motorhead. Martin from Motorhead here. We are the leading provider of driver training in the Northeast, and we are delighted to sponsor the afternoon show on Dundalk FM with Joe Duffy.
Very good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the afternoon show here with Joe Duffy. Thanks for your company today, and getting us off to a fine start, the Animals. The son of Eric Burden there, and of course the Animals, a big massive big hit from way back then. Joining me very shortly, we're just setting up things here at the moment. It'll be a mathematician here and great card tricks, I believe. I'm going to be entertained now for the next half hour, I think. So we're going to call to Colm Mulcahy here is joining me. Thanks for him. Colm's just laying out his stuff now. He's in the green room getting prepared, putting on his makeup and getting ready for the show. He says he's a great face for radio. Okay, so we'll have another wee track now while we get set up here, and we'll be back with you shortly. An old classic from way back. Procol Harum. Yes, beautiful. Yeah. Class stuff there. Really, really good stuff there from Procol Harum. Love that. Colm, you said it was April 1967. Great memory. Right, Colm, tell us what we're going to be here. We're going to be doing now. You have a few tins and stuff in front of you here just for the listener.
Well, my name is Colm Mulcahy. I'm a mathematician. I'm from Dublin originally, but based in the US at the moment. And I just had the pleasure of attending some schools this morning and doing some maths outreach activities, similar to what happens in October for Maths Week Ireland at two schools here in Dundalk, St. Fursey's and St. Joseph's. Mm-hmm. Great bunch of kids, aged about 10 to 12. We had a lot of fun. Part of my message is to convince people that mathematics can be fun and entertaining. Well, it's easier to do it face-to-face, but we'll give it a shot over the radio as well.
Okay.
I'm very much inspired by the writings of a man called Martin Gardner, who just would have turned 100 if he were still with us. And he did a lot to convince people over an extended period that maths was fun. He wrote over 100 books. And this is one that I bought as a student when I was a teenager in Dublin. And the picture on the cover is how many pieces you can slice a donut into if you're allowed to chop it three times, three straight chops. Not an easy problem at all. In fact, nobody had apparently asked that question before it appeared on the cover of this book a long time ago. So we didn't chop up donuts today, but we did other things. We had some fun with cards, and I have two activities that I'd like to share with readers if possible. One involves tins, and the other involves cards, and I thought we'd do them separately so as not to confuse people.
Can I say the listener out there can join in and plan fun?
Absolutely. Well, what I have in front of me here is three tin cans. One is a can of chickpeas, one's a can of John West wild red salmon, and the other's some tennis balls, three tennis balls in a canister. So if anybody has something like that at home, especially the tennis balls, put a couple of tins of different shapes and sizes, maybe get them together, and when we come back I'm going to ask an interesting question about them, and then I'll tell you the surprising answer.
Okay, that'll do fine. So we'll have a piece of music and we'll come back, is that okay? That's fine, lovely. That's great, Colm, happy anniversary.
I love the colourful clothes she wears, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Right, so we've got Colm now all set up here and ready to roll. Right, and Debbie McGee here, our Maria is Debbie McGee, his assistant. Yes. Right, Colm.
Excellent. Well, I have in front of me here three tins. I said a tin of salmon and a tin of chickpeas and a longer tin canister with three tennis balls in it. And my question is very simple. If you take a collection of tin cans like this, which of them is so tall that it's taller from top to bottom than the distance around the top? The ring around the top is a certain distance, and the height from top to bottom is a certain distance. Now, the tin of salmon here is one of those shallow tins. It's almost like a tin of cat food. So when I look at it, I'm fairly convinced that it's very shallow. It's not tall enough to match the circumference of the top. So we'll rule that one out. The next one is the standard tin size, 400 grams here. And to my eye, to this day, it looks to me like it's about as tall as it is around. That's the way it looks visually.
Sure.
That's many people agree with that. Now, the third one here is the three tennis balls. And that's a very tall, skinny canister. So again, looking at that, my eye is quite convinced that it's maybe twice, maybe even two and a half or three times as tall as it is around. Now, I have here a piece of paper, which just happens to be a regular A4 size paper.
Yep.
And by an amazing coincidence, the short side of it, which is just happens to be the same height as a tin canister of three tennis balls. So if I was correct in my assumption that the height is 2-ish, 2.5 times. When I wrap it around, when I turn the paper at angles, it should wrap around at least twice. And the astonishing thing is, when you try to wrap the piece of paper around, it doesn't even go around once, which is very, very surprising. Yes, now, what's going on here? Well, there's two things going on. I think there's a physical perception. Our vision is very poor at judging girth. And I think some of us know this because you look in the mirror year after year and you say to yourself, oh, sure, I'm not putting on any weight at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're in denial. You still think you're tall and skinny. But actually, what's going on here is very interesting mathematically. And I did mention several times that what's inside this canister is 3 tennis balls.
Yep.
So if you know a little bit of maths, I'll open up the tin here and roll them out. What it means is that this canister is actually 3 times as tall as it is wide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was asking if it was tall enough to be so tall that it would be longer than the ring around the top. But what is the distance around a circle? If you know a teeny little bit of geometry, as you remember from school, it is pi times the distance across, which has a fancy name, the diameter. Now, what do you know about pi? Not much. You don't need to know much. You don't need to know 20 decimals, 40 decimals, 2 decimals. All you need to know is that it's 3 point something. Because 3 point something is bigger than 3.
Yeah.
So the distance around is 3 and a bit times the width of the tennis ball, and top to bottom is 3.
Yeah.
So it's not tall enough at all. And there's a very simple explanation. You don't even need a piece of paper. You don't need to measure it. You can do this experiment in your mind if you know a little maths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff, yeah. Good stuff, yeah. Right.
So when we come back, I'll suggest that we do something with some playing cards. And if you have a deck of cards at home, I'd like you to do the following. Take out the 3 of hearts.
Right, get your deck of cards out, folks. Right, 3 of hearts.
Take the 3 of hearts out and 10 other cards. Any 10 other cards. So you have 11 cards total, one of which is the 3 of hearts. And we'll do something with that when we come back.
Okay, Paddy, get your key. Paddy's out there in Orion Park and he's listening and he wants to, he's not feeling too good today, but this is going to make him even feel better. So get out your deck of cards, 3 of hearts out at the moment, and we'll be back just after this. Yeah, Colin even knows the year that was out. February, and the month, February 69. He knows it all. Right, Maria, we have a book here on Colin as well. Give us some more details on this. Hang on a second, just give me a minute to get you up here. That's you. Up
okay, I'm perplexed already. I have to say, you've got to try that tennis ball tube thing at home, because I'm still looking at the tube go, that just doesn't make sense, and it's right in front of me, so I'll be taking a measuring tape to that one later on. Something tells me I won't be proving you wrong, though. Right, so if you want to look into this a little bit further, Colin McGahey does have a book out called Mathematical Card Magic, 52 New Effects. So, and this is available, let me see. Oh, is it available right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is indeed.
Where can it be obtained?
I'm not sure where you can get it in Dundalk, but I know Hodges Figgis in Dublin has it.
Okay, you can always go on to cardcolumn.org for more information.
That's
I'm
correct.
Sure there's some details there as well. So, and you can tweet Colm at cardcolumn too. So if you have any questions on today, or if you're a non-believer like me who's looking for a measuring tape to try and figure out that one, that's where you need to go. Let's astonish me a little bit more, Colm.
Okay, well, what I'd like to do now is have people try to follow along at home with the deck of cards. You only need 11 cards. Actually, 12 is fine, but let's go with 11 or 12. One of which should be the 3 of hearts. So put the 3 of hearts on the table face down. And the other 10 or 11 cards, it doesn't really matter, on top. So you have a bunch of cards and you know what the bottom one is the 3 of hearts. But the next thing to do is think of your favourite ice cream flavour. What's your favourite ice cream flavour?
It is marshmallow chocolate.
Marshmallow chocolate. We're going to spell out the phrase, and we only have 11 or 12 cards here, so...
Ghost chocolate.
Chocolate would be perfect.
Yeah.
It works with chocolate, it works with vanilla, it works with strawberry, it works with raspberry. Chocolate, I have some experience with in more ways than one. Ooh. I do know it has 9 letters. So we're going to be spelling out 9 letters. So here we go. So you can do this at home, but you can use your own flavour.
Okay.
You just have to have, if you have 11 or 12 cards, have 7 to 10 letters. So 7, 8, 9, or 10, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Vanilla, I think, is 7, and strawberry is 10. You wanted to go with chocolate. So here we go. Holding the cards. The bottom one is the 3 of hearts.
3 of hearts.
The top 10 or 11 are whatever they are. Now, I spell out. So this reverses the order of the cards. C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. So I've dealt off, in my case, 9 cards. If you're spelling vanilla, you've dealt off 7 cards.
7 cards.
I have some of the cards left in my hand. I just dropped them on top so they don't get reversed.
No, so it's still in the same order that you originally started with.
So I think of this as a scoop and a topping. So you've had your first scoop and your first topping. Now, don't worry, it's low calorie. We're going in for the second scoop and the second topping. So here we go. C H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. Again, I have spelt out and counted out and reversed the order of what the top nine cards. I drop whatever's left. It happens to be two in my case on top.
Okay.
Have you done magic before?
No, I haven't.
Well, it'll be your first time. Well, let's see how she does. So we go in for the kill. We always have three scoops and three toppings. So here we go for the third time. C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. And I drop. Again, it happens to be two cards. If you're spelling vanilla, you're counting out seven, reversing, you're dropping four, whatever's on top. Okay. Now, I'd like you to come over here, please, and just press down hard on the top card for me, please, and turn it into the three of strawberries. Well, that would be the three of hearts, right? So turn it over. Is the top card the three of hearts?
How is that possible?
It is indeed the three of hearts.
It is the three of hearts.
You know, it was the card that started on the bottom.
That is unbelievable. That card, just makes no sense. I'm counting it out in my head. Hang on a second.
Well, it's hard to count out in your head. It's even hard for me to count it out in my head, and I've been doing it for a while. But amazingly, the card that starts on the bottom always ends up in the top if you do that thing three times.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter what flavour you spell out, which is extraordinary. You would think it would depend.
Okay.
We can do the same card. So here we go again. I have the three of hearts back on the bottom. I'll take one card away, so I have, I don't know, nine or something on top.
Yeah.
This time we'll go with vanilla. V-A-N-I-L-L-A. That's seven reversed. Drop the rest
cards
on top. Then we go in the second time. V-A-N-I-L-L-A. Drop it on top. And then finally V-A-N-I-L-L-A. Drop it on top. And if I turn over the top card, it should be the one that three of hearts. Now, to do this in performance with people, we've done a simplified version here because, of course, we are on the radio. But in practice, how I would use this in an entertainment context is the following. I would sneak a peek at the bottom card when nobody was looking.
Sure.
I'd mix them up. I'd have you mix them up. And then at the last minute, I take a peek. This time I've taken a peek and we can all see it's the three of clubs. Three of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would maybe hand the cards to somebody and say, you spell out and reverse. And as long as they do the spelling correctly, then at the end, I can appear to be magical by saying, press down hard on the top card. I turn it into the, and I just name, apparently casually, randomly, the card I know it's going to be. Because the one that started on the bottom will end up on the top. It's a new mathematical principle which I happened to stumble on about 10 years ago. And it's actually the first chapter in my book is about this. And it explains the math of why it works and other fun things that you can do with it. But it's fun. And we did it today with the kids in the two schools. And they loved it.
They loved it, yeah. It's good. I have to say, I would love to have had that experience in school. Math to me was always quite arduous. I've stuck with it, you know, since then I'm still studying math. But that's a perplexing one for sure.
Yeah. Sure,
good.
I
think I'll be trying that one out later on.
It's funny too how kids will get very interested in mathematics by this.
I hope that the child who previously might not have thought maths had any entertainment possibilities.
The fact that you even have explained it in detail and explaining how the trick works, and it still puzzles.
It still puzzles, and it's actually hard if you try to track, you know, where that bottom card is going to in the three moves.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to figure out a mathematical explanation.
Sure.
It jumps around and it always ends up in the top after three, and you're thinking, well, why is that going on?
Mm.
So, you know, you have to figure it out. But the nice thing is it works, and it's fairly easy to learn how to do. And kids love going home and doing this for their parents and their brothers and sisters and so on.
Well, I have a niece and nephew, and I have to say, I'm going to feel quite superior showing them this one at any time soon. Going home digging out the old deck cards. And the good thing is, you don't actually even need a full deck of cards. I think everybody's got a deck missing if you're at home.
Well, listen, we're going to take a little ad break here, and we'll be back very, very short with Colin and some more for more tricks and a bit of fun. Okay, we'll be back very, very shortly.
Martin from Motor Ed here. We are the leading provider of driver training in the Northeast, and we are delighted to sponsor the afternoon show on Dundalk FM with Joe Duffy.
This is 100 FM, Dundalk's local radio.
See, that was Herman's house, and Colin doesn't like Herman's, so he doesn't give me any information on what year that was or anything else. So, not a fan of Herman's, Peter Noon, of course. Right, we're having something else, Colin, here. There's a lot of Andrew Dare's enjoying the cracking. He says it's amazing stuff there. So, you want to be in here, Andrew, to have a really good experience it. Because it's magic, right? It's fact, isn't it? Yeah, when you look at it. Okay, Colin, what are we lining up now? We're going to have a bit of fun with the sorry, Colin.
Well, two of the things I had fun with this morning with the children in St. Fursley's and St. Joseph's, one was a drawing activity and one was a birthday activity. So maybe I'll talk about one and suggest that listeners draw something at home, and then when we come back I'll tell you something that you've drawn that I can predict you're going to draw, which is kind of surprising. And then I'll tell the story about the birthdays. So what I asked the children to do was to draw a shape. I had four or five boys and four or five girls come up to the board and draw any shape where you put your pen on the page and you run with it and you come back to where you start. Mm-hmm. It can even be a figure eight. It can cross itself, but it's easier if it doesn't. So it could be something nice like a triangle or circle or square. It could be, you know, just a potato head shape, any kind of irregular shape. It can look like a kidney. It can be loopy shape. You can draw an outline of a cat or a dog or a half moon or a quarter moon. Mm-hmm. So at home, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, just draw any shape where you put your pen down, start going with it, and come back to where you start. It has finish
to join.
Where join up, yeah. And that's all. And I predict something about your drawing that's inevitably true, that I know, even though I don't know you and I don't know what you're going to draw. And this is very different now from, you know, Keith Barry terrain. This is not magic or mind reading. This is mathematics.
Okay.
But it has a magical aspect. So draw your shape, and when we come back, I'll tell you something about your drawing that may surprise you. The other activity I did that was fun, it's always fun when you have a class of maybe 30 or more children. You ask the children if they think there's anybody in the room who shares a birthday. Now, interesting, with younger children, they tend to know each other's birthdays.
Yeah.
Adults don't know them as well. But you say to them, well, look, there's 365 different days in the year. So obviously you could all have different birthdays. And if we just asked, you know, what the birthdays were, they'd probably all be different, right? And yet this morning, I think the first match I got was two on the 20th of, was 20th of April in one class, and the other class was...
What kind of size were the classes?
Well, one was about 30 maybe, the first class, and the second one was closer to 60. But in both classes, I got a match. And the funny thing was, in the second class, right away, somebody said, actually, there's twins in this class. But funnily enough, one of them wasn't there. She was out sick. So I said, well, let's leave her out of the picture. I still think there's going to be a birthday match. And we found birthday matches. And that is very counterintuitive, because you think, well, you know, you could have hundreds of different birthdays. You could. But if you grab 30 people or 40 people or 50 people at random.
Yeah.
At random. If you haven't handpicked them to have different birthdays, I'll bet you €100 that there's a birthday match. In fact, with 60 people, I bet you €1,000.
Are we recording this? Yeah, because it's a pretty good bet. Okay, right.
If
okay,
they're
I'm
not,
happy.
If they're not, if they're not handpicked. So if you're ever at a party with 70 people, and just bet them €1 each that there's a birthday match, you'll leave with €70 in your pocket. Yeah.
That's really good, because to me, I would expect it to be in excess of 365.
To,
yeah,
well, for absolute certainty.
Yeah.
100% certainty, but you can get 99% certainty.
Okay, I think I'll put that one to the test. I might hold back on the betting straight away, but I'll put it to the test and see how I go.
That's a famous phenomenon called the birthday paradox, and I have a card trick version, which I'm not going to perform, but I'm just going to demonstrate here briefly. The same thing happens with cards. If you just take off 10 random cards, and I'm dealing off 10 random cards here, I bet you there's something interesting. And what do I mean by interesting? Well, I mean a birthday. I think I have one too many there. There's 10 cards. Well, what would a birthday match be? Well, you know, 2 days the same, 14th of March, whatever. So look at these here, and what do I see? I see two nines. I just dealt 10 random cards. There's two nines and two kings. Now, you might be surprised by that, but I'm not, because I've done the maths. And it turns out that with 10 random cards, there's a 98% chance that you have at least a pair. You can turn this into a poker effect.
Yeah,
now, it's not real poker. You'll be thrown out of Vegas if you try this. But with 10 random cards, I know there's going to be some good stuff in there with a very high probability. And I can do something else, which involves other maths, to make you.
Can I try 10 cards just to see?
Not that I'm being a skeptic,
but let's just give it a go.
Yep.
Okay, 10 cards.
Have you got 10 or 9?
You dealt those off the top of the deck.
I did, just straight off the top of the deck, and they were after being shuffled. Okay, so far I've got two queens.
There you go.
I have two jacks.
There you go.
And that's it.
That's not too shabby, though.
And I witnessed those being shuffled, so there you go.
And the thing is, there's something else you can do to make it so you get the jacks or you get the queens, or whatever queens. So
okay, can we do that one off air?
We can do that off
air. Great, perfect. And anyone looking to tape, call him up on that bet. I will give you his contact information later on.
In the meantime, I hope you all have your shapes drawn at home. Should we talk about the shapes now?
Yeah.
Okay, so your shape. Well, here's the amazing thing. No matter what shape you draw, this was discovered about 100 years ago, 1913, I believe. No matter what shape you draw, you will be able to find 4 points on the edge, on the perimeter of your shape, that form the corners of a square.
Okay.
I have a triangle here, and I'm eyeballing that one. I think it might be those there. I have the kidney shape one. I think those are the four. I have the potato thing here. It's harder to find them in an irregular shape, but it might be something like that. And if my artistic skills aren't great and I'm slightly wrong, it's okay. Because the maths means it can be corrected. That's the amazing part. So if you don't like my picture, you say, actually, that's not a square at all. That's fine. You could go in there with measuring tape and a compass and do it properly. And I promise you, €1 million, you will find a square.
that's actually quite good, because if you think of this like an elastic band, you lay an elastic band down a table,
absolutely.
You make a shape.
Absolutely.
And regardless of what the shape is, you pick your points and bump, square.
There will be 4 points in there, yeah.
No, there will be.
Yeah, but without moving it. There'll be 4 points, no matter what. If you have a hairband.
Okay, well, here,
band,
I actually have a hairband that is basically an oversized bobbin for your hair. So I'm going to make a banana shape.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
there you go.
That's like this one here. So somewhere in there, there is 4 points.
There is.
And if you move a bit of it to destroy the square, another square will pop up somewhere else. That's the amazing thing.
Oh, okay.
Because it just works. It's not magic. It's mathemagic.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Very good. Interesting.
A lot of the stuff is in the book as well.
Well, the stuff in the book is, the book is called Mathematical Card Magic, and it's 52 new effects. It is card tricks, so the poker trick based on the Bertie Paradox is in there, and the ice cream spelling trick is in there, and some other fun tricks. But the stuff about the shapes is not in there.
It's
strictly card activities and entertainments using mathematics, but that anybody, there's no fancy maths in there, any child, you know, from 10 up could enjoy.
I'll keep Colin's details on this book in reception if anybody wants to look into this a little bit further. Go home and have a little try at this at home, because it's definitely interesting.
And if you look me up on the web, you know, a lot of these are explained on the web. You don't have to get the book. A lot of them are explained free on the web. Card column.
The thing I like about this, you know, the way Penn and Teller are forever showing the tricks and, you know, secrets of a magician, and they give it away, and it's a bit like, oh, is that all? Is that how it's done? Really? This actually gets even more confusing, because not alone is it explained, but it still doesn't make sense. Not in my head. You have to think it out, and then it's like, okay, how was I duped into that in the first place?
But it's funny you should mention that, because actually, you know, in magic, one of the first things you learn is don't give away your secrets. And as a, I'm an amateur magician, but one of the first things I learned was, I don't want to know your secrets.
Yeah.
I went to a very famous performer, John Calvert, who passed away at the age of 101.
Wow.
About a year ago, and I saw him when he was in his early 90s, and he did this.
Maybe that was a secret you should have asked. 101.
He did an amazing show that he'd been doing since the 1940s, where he turned around and burning cigarettes appeared in his hand and everything. And it was just stunning. And I was right beside him. There were no special effects. And then at the second half, he came out and explained how he did it. And I regret that I stayed for the second half.
Oh, that's a shame.
Because I lost the magic. It was like Santa Claus was killed right there.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
No,
you want to keep the magic.
Yeah.
You want to. So when people ask me sometimes, how'd you do that? You know, I say immodestly, reasonably well, thank you, and move on.
Good answer.
But thank you very much, Joe, for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's nice to meet. Nice to meet the real Joe Duffy.
Come here. It's are you back? When are you back home to Atlanta? As John says, it's
well, I'm here. I'm here for a couple of weeks. I'm doing a lecture tour in England starting next week, and then I'm doing some schools up in Belfast and Maharafelt, and I'll be back for Matt's Week this October. I'm pretty sure.
And will you come in and have a chat with us?
I'd love to. I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'd be good fun. We really enjoyed it.
It's a big year for mathematics, because, as you probably know, George Boole, who zeros and ones are the backbone of computing and secrets on the internet.
The binary guy.
The binary guy. Yeah. This would be his 200th birthday, and University College Cork is doing huge celebrations all year long for George Boole.
Yeah.
And they know Matt's Week theme this October is going to be heavily Boole dependent, because he's probably the most famous mathematician who ever worked in Ireland so far.
Colin Mulcahy there, thank you very much for coming in to us today, and of course, your best luck on your little tour at the moment, and as John says, don't be in a hurry going back to Atlanta, because it's bitter cold over there at the moment. Okay,
thank
Colin,
you
thank you very, very much indeed. It was a real pleasure, and it was an eye-opener.
That was great fun, yeah, that was good. That
definitely you're glad
you
come back to see that.
I'm going home to find a deck of cards.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Colin.
Thank you, Colin.
And best
Joe.
Luck. God bless you. Bye then. Thanks to John Kiger over there in the States for having the gentleman in here. Great entertaining. Good fun and very educational as well. Here's Dr. Hook, when you're in love with a beautiful woman.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, it's hard.
Just coming back to Colin there to find where we can obtain that book, and we just want to know where it can be got in Dundalk.
Well, I'm not sure where it's available in Dundalk, but the last time I was in Hodges Vegas in Dawson Street in Dublin, they had copies. It's called Mathematical Card Magic. Colin Mulcahy is my name. The publisher is CRC Press, and it's certainly available in your local shops or through the usual internet outlets. But thank you very much.
Thanks, Colin. That's where you can get it. And any more information, Maria here has more.
Pardon? I will have everything in reception. If anybody wants to put a call through to me later on, I'll give you those contacts.
That's great. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks, Maria. Thanks for that.
Very good.